Welcome to the Families at Grace podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage parents as they apply the gospel in their homes. Hey, everybody, welcome back.
It's good to be back with you.
Man, it's hard to believe. It's March the 4th when we're recording this, and March the 3rd was the tornadoes last year.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's been a year ago.
Yeah, we had Disciple Now that weekend, mm-hmm. and then Tuesday was the tornadoes, mm-hmm. and then Saturday we helped people pick up
clean up the
wreckage. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday we had church, and that was the last time we had church for like 2 months.
Yeah. If I remember right, it was like a Wednesday night and you had to call off D groups.
Yeah.
And then Sunday we stopped everything for a long time.
That was a year.
That's a year ago. It's hard to believe.
Crazy.
A lot was the water under the bridge, a whole lot of water under the bridge in 12 months. So,
you know, I think in that 2 months, that we were, how many weeks that was, mm-hmm. that we didn't have our normal in-person kind of gatherings.
Yeah.
I think everybody, mm-hmm. when we came back in person, even though it was kind of weird, like, I think there was a longing for everybody to be back together for that worship service.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
And, I think that's a fitting way to think about what we're doing today. 'Cause we're talking mm-hmm. about, children in the worship
corporate
service.
Worship. Yep.
Now you may have already heard this because we may have been reaching out to you to be volunteers. and if you hadn't, then maybe we will soon.
You will soon.
But if you haven't, then soon you're going to see some handouts and some emails mm-hmm. and stuff about, Sunday school,
right.
Coming back in.
Yep.
And so we, just so you know, the Sunday after Easter, I think that's April 11th, right?
Yep.
We're going to start offering.
Happy birthday to one of my children, by the way.
Hey, all right.
She knows who she is.
Because she's listening to this.
Oh, yeah.
The parenting podcast. on April 11th, we're mm-hmm. going on that birthday. We are going to open Sunday school for adults. There'll be mm-hmm. one adult Sunday school class per hour.
At each hour.
And mm-hmm. then children's classes during mm-hmm. each hour, whereas right now it's only been one.
That's right. We're expanding to have elementary classes at 9 o'clock the way we have had them at 10:45. So a kindergarten through second grade class. And a third through fifth grade class.
That's right. And the same for youth. We will have a middle school class during each hour and mm-hmm. a high school class during mm-hmm. each hour. Yeah.
And those locations will be a little bit different than they have been in the past. So look for that map so that you know where your kids will be going and where to send them.
Yeah, that's all going to come in the emails and the handouts and all that. But the main thing that we wanted to address today is, you know, we've only had the corporate worship gathering mm-hmm. For a year. We've had no Sunday school, you know, like since we've been back.
Right. Since
we
came back to
the 9 months or whatever
building.
We've yep. been back. mm-hmm. This is all we've had. Now we have more than one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought it might be fitting to spend a little bit of time thinking about what it means to continue to have your children
mm-hmm.
And your teenager mm-hmm. in the service with you. I think especially now that we're adding that extra time that mm-hmm. we're at church. So if your family yep. is going to be coming to Sunday school, then mm-hmm. that means they're potentially going to go to Sunday school and then come to church.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can make things a little bit different.
Yeah. Especially coming out of this season when we've been doing, you know, you may have been doing Sunday morning worship on your couch.
That's right.
A whole lot more relaxed. I know last week, you know, Justin encouraged everybody to come in their pajamas, but it's a little bit different when you actually are here in the corporate service. And so we understand that, especially for younger kids, this is going to be an adjustment.
Yeah.
You know, typically our kindergartners are starting to come to the big church, we call it, for them. And they haven't had the chance to do that. So this is going to be new for a large group of our young kids who are coming in. So.
Yeah. And so we thought it might be helpful at the beginning to just acknowledge some of the difficulties that come along with having your child or your teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's, Jason, why don't you spend a minute talking about younger children and then older children?
Yeah. So for our youngest kids, again, we encourage you to start bringing your kindergartner to church with you in big church. Now, so they're going to be, they'll probably be a little noisy. They'll definitely be squirmy. They'll have lots of questions about what's going on because it's all brand new to them. And, you know, brand new building for some of them. And so it's going to be a big deal for older kids. You know, they're still fidgety and nervous, but if they have something to keep their hands busy, they're a little bit better. But they can, you know, you can run into boredom at some points because it is we have added time to the service as well that we didn't have before. So mm-hmm. it is a longer bit of a longer service. So those are typical kid things.
Pro tip. If you bring your kid's thermos cup into church and they drop it on the sloped floor, it's just going to roll on down to the front.
It will roll down to Scott.
Hadn't happened to me yet. It's just a matter of time. That's right. That's right. And don't let them put something up on that ledge if you're on the front row of the balcony.
There are signs on the balcony.
That's right.
Ledge.
Please obey the signs. Anything there. Yeah. And with teens, with teens, it's not that different, really. Teens can be.
I was sitting there last week, and I was nervous about about setting my Bible, and I didn't set my Bible in there. But
yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the difficulties can extend to teenage years, too.
Sure. Yeah.
They're a little bit different. Well, of course, I mean, your middle school boy is going to be squirmy and fidgety. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, the way we would describe the difficulties might not be so different than the way you would describe a kindergartner.
That's right.
But there are other elements, like teenagers. There's a social element. Where are my friends right now? Mm-hmm. Are my friends in this service? Mm-hmm. My friends are on the other side. So instead of looking at the sermon, I might be looking, now that we can see everybody
across,
else in the room,
yeah.
I'm looking across at my friends. Yeah. Why are they sitting together and I'm not sitting with them? Or can I go sit with them? Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole issue of maybe a level of engagement. Like you might have a child who's not terribly spiritually interested.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not a believer yet or something, mm-hmm. and they're not tracking with, or they might just not be tracking with the sermon.
Yeah.
They get bored or don't feel like they're getting something out of it. Maybe they don't like the songs that day. There's just lots of things. And so sometimes I feel like in the teenage years, there's the potential, that the way to church is a little bit of a battle for you as a parent from time to time, because of all of these other elements too. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to get that out and say, man, we know.
Yeah, we understand
that this is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Having our kids in the worship service can be a difficult thing.
Yep.
I would imagine that now that we have two services, and because we're adding maybe 2 hours of Sunday school, like for teenagers, like we've never done that before.
Yeah.
Where your kid could potentially be in a Sunday school class where other people, their friends, some of their friends are
different
not
service. Yeah.
And these things are difficult.
Yeah.
But the one thing that we want to impress upon you, all of our parents, is that if you had to make a choice between Sunday school and the corporate worship gathering, we would very much encourage you to choose big church.
Yep. Definitely.
That's the place to be. That's right. That's right. So why don't you talk for a moment about why do we want that? Because there's a lot of churches out there that offer essentially alternative programming. Sure. So why do we not offer that? Mm-hmm. And how is Sunday school different than children's church?
Yeah, well, our Sunday school classes in a normal setting are age graded, and so they're getting specific instructions to their grade. But I think the pattern that we're working from is a New Testament pattern where you see in Paul's letters, especially Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3, he speaks to husbands and wives, but then he also speaks to parents and children. So there's an assumption there that the children would have been hearing this letter read, and parents were there. So their children were involved in the corporate worship services in the early church, and they're being addressed by a spiritual leader there. So we think it's important in the same way today for children to hear from God's word and to be a part of the corporate gathering of worship. Jesus, the classic children's ministry passage, Jesus welcoming the children. Disciples tried to keep them away, and Jesus said, "Bring them to me," and he blessed them there. So the presence of children in our worship service is important, and I believe a blessed part of being a New Testament church.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And if you think about what the kinds of things that the church is commanded to do together, so you've got commands like preach the word in season and out of season, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs.
Yep.
You have the idea of praying together and for one another. You take up an offering. You do all of these things are kind of what the corporate gathering is supposed to do. That's the thing that Christians are called to do all together. And that is, I think, an intergenerational call, just like in Ephesians and Colossians, Paul addresses children. The assumption is that they're in the room.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a strong case for everybody being in there together.
Definitely.
And I think you can't underestimate the value of a child spending, if we say from kindergarten, so five years old to 18 years old, so 13 years sitting under the word being preached.
Yeah.
I just think you can't put a price tag on that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a unique event. There, I mean, we do our best to have good Sunday school classes for these ages, but it's not the same thing as a corporate worship service.
That's right.
And the gathering of the church all together across generations, across races, socioeconomic stratum. We all come together in that one place to worship God. And so he's the main character there. And, and the Holy Spirit works in those meetings.
That's right.
And so it's a unique experience that we don't want them to miss.
Yep. So if I order lunch on the Chick-fil-A app.
Yes.
You ready for that? You don't even know where this is going, do you?
I'm excited.
But you like it already.
You can't do it on a Sunday, though, so I'm confused.
Right. Not on Sunday, yeah. So every analogy breaks down. if I order a number one chicken sandwich on the app, it comes with the butter toasted bun. It comes with the pickles. It comes with the X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah.
And that is a number one. That is what the number one is.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you scroll down on your phone, you got the add-ons. You're going to add cheese to it. You're going to add bacon to it. You're going to whatever. So I can have bacon, but if I have bacon, I'm not having the number one. Like if it's by itself.
It's changed.
And
it's
when as a Christian, the base package that you want your family to be at is the worship service.
Yeah.
And everything else is Sunday school is a very pleasant, like bacon, a very pleasant, helpful add-on. But you wouldn't want to eat it by itself.
Yeah.
That's not what you came for.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with Sunday school. I mean, I'm very proud of what we do in Sunday school.
Yeah.
And the curriculum. And I'm so glad for the children's curriculum. Man.
Yeah. So, well, and to carry on your analogy, if all you ever ate was bacon, guess what?
Yeah.
You're not healthy. And
that's
so if our children,
but if we just eat a number one, well, you're good. You're just total health.
Well, you know,
we didn't
get the side salad instead of the waffle fries.
There you go.
But yeah, one ingredient is going to make you an unhealthy physically, and so one kind of event on a Sunday is going to make you unhealthy. So, so that's why all that to say, we encourage you to take your kids to worship.
Yeah, and I think. Conversely, you know, we talked about the you know, I said, don't underestimate the value of them sitting under preaching for years and years. I think that's true. I think on the negative side, I think that the pitfalls of not taking your child to worship can be problematic too. So let's just spend just a moment about what the issues are with not deciding to bring them to corporate worship.
Well, you know, the weekly Sunday morning gathering is the main event of the church. And so we've kind of hit on that. So if they're missing out on that, they're missing out on the regular diet of preaching that the church is meant to
get.
That's right. And so I think that's, that ill prepares them for the future and for a mature, to be a mature disciple.
Yeah.
So, and it also has the, you know, if they're only going, if our kids, you know, talking about our infant through fifth graders, they're only going to Sunday school class. They're only with people their age.
Yeah.
You know, there were other fifth graders or other third graders. And, you know, yes, there are a couple adults in there who are teaching and leading them. But for the most part, they're looking around at people who are just like them.
Yeah.
And that's not a healthy picture of the church. The church is made up of different parts of the body, which we've learned about in Romans. So they need to see that in a corporate worship service where they're there as the young people, but they see moms and dads, middle-aged people, single people, older people. It's wonderful to see some of our older folks who've been able to get vaccinated who are coming back now because they value corporate worship.
Right.
So it's good for our children to see those folks who have been faithful and God has been faithful to them throughout their whole life.
Same for teenagers. I think, you know, teenagers probably on just a desire level want to see primarily people that are just like them, right? So there's a felt need there for peer friendship.
Yep.
That's not a bad thing at all. You know, we all want to have friends, things like that. And that's not bad. But you miss out on that intergenerational thing. And I think especially in the teen years and beyond, there's something that we, I think, can unintentionally teach our kids by only putting them in age-graded things that says that if a program is not specifically catered to my station in life, then it's not valuable to me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't need to do it. And mm-hmm. I think the danger is that there are lots of churches that are not gospel saturated, Bible believing churches that are doing the kinds of things that are attractive to that mindset.
Yeah.
And that if kids come up with a value mm-hmm. above everything else, mm-hmm. that you need to be speaking directly to me and my place mm-hmm. only.
The style that I like.
The style mm-hmm. of music that yeah. I like, the style of preaching that I like, mm-hmm. and the kinds of illustration, all of that kind of stuff mm-hmm. For just my little niche of people.
Yeah.
Then the places they will gravitate are largely going to be ones that are not surrounded by scripture, I mm-hmm. think. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be problematic. And yeah. so all that to say, to circle it all back around again, you know, we would just very much encourage mm-hmm. you to, even though it's difficult, just like we acknowledged,
yep. Yep.
to bring your children and your teens to the worship, the corporate worship gathering, to the mm-hmm. point that if your family slept in on Sunday morning and they normally go to the late Sunday school hour,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you're serving somewhere, and we'll give you a pass if you're serving in Sunday school sometimes, right? But really, like honestly, if you normally went to that second hour of Sunday school, and you missed the worship gathering, we'd rather you miss Sunday school yep. that day
yep.
and go to the late service. So mm-hmm. we're asking mm-hmm. you to do this, but yeah. but Jason, how?
So how? Yeah. So practically, how do we get there? Well, one of the things that we have to think about is your preparation. So. To be ready for Sunday morning, you got to start preparing on Saturday night. So,
that's right.
You know, lay out your kids' clothes, your clothes, whatever preparation you can do ahead of time will help a ton on Sunday morning, because for whatever reason, everything takes longer on Sunday morning.
That's right.
Kids getting ready, you getting ready, something goes wrong with the car, or there's traffic, you know, there's always something.
Yep.
So do as much preparation ahead of time as you can. Talk about, you know, if you've got, I say this for teenagers, they need to know what time we're leaving the house.
Yep.
And so communicate that ahead of time. Don't expect to roll them out of bed and get them ready.
Yeah. I think you start with, when do we need to be at church by?
Mm-hmm.
So you think about all the things. You want to be in your seat a few minutes before the service starts.
Yep.
You know, you want to be there 5 minutes early, mm-hmm. right? Well, if you got kids in childcare or in Sunday school or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, if they're pre-K.
Yep.
You need to get them dropped off, and now our campus is bigger, so that's like mm-hmm. a 10-minute thing right there.
It's a longer walk.
So now you need to be in the building at a quarter till.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's say a quarter till is when you need to be there, and it takes you 20 minutes. That means you need to be dressed, ready to go, and sitting in the car about to pull out of the driveway
mm-hmm.
35 minutes before mm-hmm. the service starts.
Yeah.
So you kind of start with, when do we want to be at church, and then you work backwards.
Yeah.
And I think just like you said, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking about other things. Whatever you can do to make Sunday morning easier. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Have your kids bathe the night before.
Yep.
Don't cook pancakes on Sunday morning mm-hmm. for breakfast mm-hmm. and have a big family breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Do cereal Sunday morning
yep.
so that you got time, unless you just want to get up extra early, yep. I guess.
And guys, don't leave this all for your wife to do.
Yeah.
Get up early absolutely. And be the one to fix the breakfast so that she can handle other things. So, or however you divide those tasks at home.
Yes.
Don't expect it to happen without your effort.
Shout out to our own wives, though, who have to do that by
themselves.
Have
to do it by themselves every Sunday. So
sorry.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. So we've gotten there. We've gotten up. We've done all that. What about actually during the worship service?
Yeah. So I think you can, you know, on the way here, you can talk and you can prepare for what's happening. You can pray for Pastor Scott. You can pray for their Sunday school teachers. You can pray for the worship team. You can talk through what Sunday is going to be like. You know, if this is, you know, if it's the first Sunday of the month, we all know that means communion.
Yep.
And so if you need to talk about, you know, just discuss what communion means, or if you need to talk about why we do it, it's a great place to do it so that they're prepared and you're not getting the question while you're sitting in the seat.
Can I take communion today?
Right. That's for a baptized believer. So, so talk about that ahead of time. You don't have to have that discussion in the pew. And then, you know, for young kids, you know, take them to the bathroom ahead of time. So you know, like you can avoid the tugging on your arm to take him to the bathroom in the middle of the service. So just those practical things. Also pick up kids' sermon notes. We've got those available out with the yep. regular bulletins. Your kids can use those. There's activities and there's a place for them to take notes and listen to Pastor Scott. So they'll be more in tune with what's happening if their hands are busy and yep. their ears are listening. So those are practical things you can
There's
do
also
while you're
a
here.
Book. I think Truth 78 does a like mm-hmm. my worship
My church notebook.
My church notebook. Yeah. Yep. So it's like what we have, yep, but it's like in a notebook, so you don't have to pick something up and they all stay in one place.
Right. Yep.
But it's essentially the same thing we're offering, I think.
Right. It looks it's a place to do activities and write sermon notes. Yep.
Yeah. I think for teenagers, a couple of things I would say. One is, I think modeling engagement in the worship service is maybe the most important thing you can do as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means you're not on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You are reading the passage of scripture. Maybe you're taking notes. I'm not like a legalist about note taking, you know, mm-hmm, but maybe, you know, that at least you're actively listening. Mm-hmm. Your eyes are showing that you're there. You're actually singing. I think that there's a huge value in parents hearing their parents sing in the church service.
Mm-hmm.
I think moms by and large more sing, but I think I think there's something valuable also about dad singing during the service. I guess it's because you kind of cross a vulnerability that's maybe a little bit counter-cultural for men.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something very powerful. If you're a dad, I mean, man, even if you're not any good at singing, there is something I
resemble that remark.
About lifting your voice to the Lord in worship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's absolutely a beautiful thing. And I have just great memories of my dad just singing very loud next to me. And it's clearly, I think, shaped the way I think about
absolutely
that.
Yeah, the modeling is huge. And especially for teens, like you've said, but for younger kids, we have the question, well, are they really getting anything out of it?
Yeah.
Well, they may not understand all of the theological terms that are used, but Scott does a great job of explaining those and making it easy to understand. But the thing that they will do is they will be present when their mom and dad, who are very busy during the week, set aside this time where they could be doing other things. They set aside this time to come to church with God's people, to hear God's word, to pray, to sing together, like you said.
That's right.
And it's important. It is a priority. They do it regularly. Mm-hmm. They listen to the Bible read. They hear this pastor pray for them and pray over lots of other things that they may not be introduced any other time during the week. And so it's vital that they catch those things, even if they're not, you know, able to intellectually just yet tune into everything that's being said.
That's right. I think we've said this in a previous podcast, but I think even the reasons that you deem acceptable to miss church,
mm-hmm,
you know, like that you're set, like you said, setting busy time apart to come to church.
Yep.
You know, like if you just kind of like don't feel like coming one day and you're like, eh, we don't feel like going, we're just going to stay home or live stream today or something like that just because we don't want to get up.
Yeah.
You know, that says, communicates something. And on the other hand, to say, no, we are going to church today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a crazy day today. We got stuff we got to get to afterwards, but man, this is the Lord's day.
Mm-hmm.
That says something.
Yeah.
And I think I can't remember every point that Scott says from every Sunday to the other. And I know that he'd be very hurt to hear that. but the truth is that regardless of that, we are all taking bits and pieces of God's truth that's being shared.
Yep.
And we're incorporating that into our lives and into our hearts and worldviews.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids are doing that too. In whatever way they are able to at any point in their life, it is happening. And I think maybe in Isaiah, you know, where it says as the rain comes down from heaven, making the seed, you know, all that, Isaiah everything 55. Grow.
Mm-hmm.
It says, so my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish everything that I purposed it to. Right.
Yep.
So every time that your child sits down there, if they're fidgety, if they're scraping that pencil across that paper so loud, you think it's just bothering everybody around you.
Yeah.
If it was an argument the whole way there, before you went in there, you got to know and trust that God's word does not return to him void.
That's right.
But it accomplishes exactly what he intended it to.
Powerful.
And so we pray and we trust in that promise and we bring our kids to church.
That's right.
And guys, we just want to say, while we're wrapping things up, I think, that we understand that this is a difficult thing.
Yes.
And we're here for you.
Yep.
So if there's a way that we can, if you need to talk to us, if you want to shoot us an email or get a phone call or get a cup of coffee or something like that to talk about your specific situation, we're not trying to heap guilt on people.
No.
We're not trying to like shame somebody who has not been doing things the way we've been saying. Exactly. That's not what we're trying to say at all.
Yep.
We're really just trying to help get a vision for what the corporate worship gathering
That's
is
right.
for,
yeah.
and what it has the power and to do in our lives as we engage in it.
Yeah, the church as a body is responsible for the discipleship of one another.
That's right.
And your children and your teenagers are part of that one another.
That's right.
So we as a church body are responsible for each other, and so that's what we're trying to encourage is healthy Christian body life in the church.
That's right. All right. Well, I think that's it for today. So we're so glad that you were listening today, and we'll catch you next time.
Looking forward to it.